I want you to think for a second about, well, the invisible web of machine-to-machine traffic that's basically holding your enterprise infrastructure together right now.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
And mostly ignored.
Right. Because we spend so much time analyzing human behavior, you know,
right.
Phishing simulations, endpoint detection, multi-factor authentication. But the reality of modern architecture is that API calls, they just completely outnumber human logins by, like, orders of magnitude.
Oh, absolutely. This is not even close.
Exactly. And whenever you authorize a new integration, you generate a digital handshake. So today, our mission for this deep dive is to dissect what happens when the architecture of those handshakes is completely subverted. We are pulling apart this massive, paradigm-shifting supply chain attack from June of 2026.
Right, the one the industry calls the Icarus attack.
That's the one. And we've compiled the incident reports, the technical autopsy of the malware, industry forecasts, all to really understand how the literal guardians of the internet were compromised. Not through some crazy zero day, but through the mundane plumbing of how apps talk to each other.
Yeah, and the documentation of this incident provides just a really stark look at the vulnerabilities baked into modern SaaS environments.
Mm-hmm.
What the forensics reveal here is, honestly, it's a masterclass in infiltration.
It really is.
I mean, the threat actors, they didn't even bother trying to break through the heavily fortified external perimeters of these top-tier security firms.
Why bother? Right.
Exactly. They exploited the everyday plumbing, the integration protocols, because
yeah.
They recognized that the trust relationships between disparate applications, well, they're often monitored far less rigorously than the endpoints or the network edges.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the sheer irony of the world's top security vendors getting breached, I mean, it's heavy.
Mm.
But the mechanics of the infiltration are what we really need to focus on. So to grasp the magnitude of this event, we first have to look at the incredibly subtle entry vector.
The forgotten key.
Right. We're talking early June 2026. The initial target wasn't a cybersecurity giant at all. It was a company called Clue.
K-L-U-E.
Right. Right. Yeah. And they run a really highly utilized competitive intelligence platform. You know, hundreds of major enterprises pipe their market data, sales intelligence, customer info all into Clue's infrastructure to map out their competitive landscape. And the attackers compromise Clue not through some web app vulnerability, but through a forgotten development artifact.
Yeah.
The incident reports call it a legacy credential.
Yeah. The postmortem strongly indicates this was a GitHub personal access token, a PAT. And it had been generated, like, years prior.
Years. Wow.
Yeah. And in these fast-paced DevOps environments, it's just incredibly common for an engineer to generate a pay to, you know, facilitate an automated build process or maybe allow a third-party vendor to commit code.
Right. Just to get the job done quickly.
Exactly. But then the project wraps up, the vendor offboards, but the token, it just remains active.
It just sits there.
It sits there. It was never rotated. It had no expiration date configured. And it was sitting totally outside the scope of Clue's active credential management audits.
Which, I mean, that exposes a fundamental flaw in how long-lived credentials are treated in CI/CD pipelines, you know?
Oh, totally.
So think about it like this. It's like giving a valet the valet key to park your car, right? But in the digital world, the valet copies that key, and the key never expires. And suddenly, years later, someone else is using it to drive your car whenever they want without setting off the alarm.
That is a perfect analogy, because what's fascinating here is how they use that access.
Yeah.
The attackers locate this ORSIN token, they authenticate to Clue's repositories, and they don't just exfiltrate proprietary source code.
No, they actually modify the code base.
Right. They poison the pipeline by injecting a backdoor directly into Clue's middleware. And the sole purpose of this malicious code update was just to silently capture the OAuth tokens that Clue's customers used.
The tokens used to authorize the connection between Clue and their third-party platforms like Salesforce.
Exactly. And unlike a traditional password, an OAuth refresh token, it's less like a password and more like a persistent invisible backstage pass.
Right, because it never gets challenged by the security guards at the front gate.
Because it was issued directly by the Tor manager. The authentication system doesn't care who holds the token. It just checks if the token has the correct permission scopes.
And the mechanism the attackers use to harvest these tokens is just, it's particularly insidious. Because they didn't just scrape a database of stored credentials, did they?
No, they didn't. They injected logic into the authentication flow itself. So they were capturing the access and refresh tokens in memory. Like right as they were being handled by the application.
Oh, wow. So before they even hit the disk.
Right. Because this capture happens before the data is written to disk or logged.
Mm-hmm.
Standard data loss prevention tools, even file integrity monitors, They just remain completely blind to the theft.
Because there's nothing to see.
Exactly. And once the attackers possess these OAuth tokens, they just turn around and use them to query the Salesforce databases of Clue's customers.
Yeah.
And from the perspective of the customer's identity provider, you know, the incoming traffic was perfectly legitimate.
Because it carried the digital signature of a trusted, authorized application.
Exactly. Technically, it was authorized traffic.
The system just sees, like, the Salesforce CRM read stop attached to a valid token, and it just streams the data. There are no failed login attempts triggering an alert. There's no anomalous IP address originating from some known botnet.
Because they're routing their requests through infrastructure that mimics the expected vendor traffic.
Right. So because they hijacked the trusted identity of Clue, the attackers pull off the ultimate irony here. They bypass the alarms of the very organizations that literally build the industry standard for anomaly detection.
Yeah, the topology of this attack is what elevates it to an industry-defining moment, because the casualty list. It represents the absolute apex of the cybersecurity ecosystem.
Our roster is staggering. I mean, we are looking at Huntress, Hackeron, Jamf, Recorded Future, Tanium, Snack, OneTrust.
That's a who's who of security.
It really is. In total, the telemetry suggests over 700 organizations had their environments accessed. I mean, Jason Smith, the CEO of Clue, released this highly scrutinized statement confirming the lateral movement. He basically said, you know, the attacker used that access to obtain OAuth tokens used to connect Clue with third-party platforms, including Salesforce, and then access data within connected customer environments.
And when you map out the specific data silos those companies hold, the severity just multiplies. I mean, HackerOne is managing the vulnerability disclosures for the world's largest tech companies.
Unpatched vulnerabilities.
Right. Jamf has administrative access to millions of global Apple endpoints. Mm. Tanium provides real-time endpoint visibility to Fortune 100 enterprises and federal intelligence agencies.
That's crazy.
The attackers essentially gained read access to the internal nervous systems of the companies protecting the global economy.
Wait, I have to stop you there. Because the timeline of this detection gap, this is where the math really doesn't add up for me.
Okay, let's look at it.
So the forensics show the malicious code was pushed into Clue's environment around Juneteenth, right?
Yeah.
And the data exfiltration from the customer environments began on June 16th. But Huntress and ReliaQuest didn't flag the suspicious API access patterns until June 18th.
Right.
We are talking about companies whose entire evaluation is built on detecting lateral movement and behavioral anomalies in milliseconds. So how does an unauthorized entity map environments and extract data for nearly 2 weeks without tripping a single heuristic alarm in Tanium or Recorded Future's own internal SOCs?
Well, the blind spot exists precisely because of the one-to-many scalability of supply chain integrations.
How do you mean?
Well, the anomaly detection engines at Tanium and Huntress, they're tuned to look for lateral movement originating from untrusted vectors, right, or compromised internal endpoints. But API traffic is inherently noisy.
Oh, sure.
It's highly variable. Like, a marketing automation tool might legitimately sync 10,000 contact records on a Tuesday and then zero on a Wednesday. So the threat actors, they studied the historical API call volumes of the Clue integration.
Wow, they did their homework.
They absolutely did. They scheduled their exfiltration scripts to run simultaneously with legitimate cron jobs, effectively hiding their payload extraction within the statistical noise of standard telemetry syncs.
That is wild.
And they throttled their queries to stay just beneath the API rate limits that would normally trigger an automated suspension.
So they basically used the predictable rhythm of the vendor's own infrastructure as camouflage.
Exactly the case. It took days for the subtle deviations in those access patterns, you know, maybe querying a specific database table that Clue historically never needed to access to finally trigger a medium severity alert that a human analyst actually bothered to investigate.
And by the time Huntress identified the anomaly on June 18th and then formally notified Clue on the 19th, high-value data had already left the perimeter.
Yeah. Customer contacts, internal sales communications, pricing matrices, detailed opportunity notes, all gone.
It's gone. But, you know, the subsequent response from the victims, I think that fundamentally altered how the industry handles breach disclosures.
Oh, without a doubt.
The radical transparency protocol that Huntress initiated.
Yeah.
Because usually in the corporate sector, the default legal strategy post-breach is just containment and obfuscation, right?
It's minimize the PR fallout.
Exactly. Release some vague statement about, you know, unauthorized access to a subset of legacy systems. But Huntress published an exhaustive, granular technical analysis of exactly how their environment was compromised.
Yeah, they released this specific tactics, techniques, and procedures, the TTPs used by the attackers.
Which is huge. because when a victim organization hides the forensics out of reputational fear, the threat actors just repackage the exact same methodology and use it against the next target.
Exactly. The whole ecosystem remains vulnerable. But by publishing the architecture of the trap they fell into, Huntress allowed thousands of other security teams to immediately search their own audit logs for those specific indicators of compromise. And that transparency, it's really the only way a decentralized defense can function against an adversary this disciplined. I mean, the tactical patience required to compromise a vendor, quietly poison a middleware pipeline, and throttle exfiltration over weeks, it tells us a massive amount about the maturity of the threat actor.
Right. We are no longer discussing automated scripts throwing exploits at public-facing firewalls.
No, we are analyzing highly strategic corporate-level espionage units.
And the group claiming responsibility for this operation operates under the moniker Icarus.
Right.
And their operational model, it marks a distinct evolution away from traditional extortion vectors, because the prevailing trend over the last 5 years has been noisy ransomware operations, right?
Yeah, the loud ones.
Groups like Lockbit or Black Cat breach a network, deploy cryptographic lockers across the servers, paralyze the business operations, and demand some exorbitant cryptocurrency payment for the decryption key.
But Icarus eschews encryption entirely.
Right. They operate purely on a data theft and extortion model. They silently siphon the intellectual property, and their leverage is entirely based on the threat of public disclosure or, you know, targeted auctioning of the data to competitors.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the overhead of managing a ransomware deployment is immense. You have to handle the encryption routines, evade endpoint detection during the detonation phase, and manage the technical support of actually decrypting the victim's files if they pay.
It's like running a terrible software company.
It really is. The Icarus model completely eliminates that friction. It is extortion through threat and market disruption rather than operational downtime.
There's a fascinating psychological angle to the threat actor's profile here, too. I mean, they name themselves Icarus.
Yeah, the myth.
Right. In the mythology, Icarus flies too close to the sun, the wax wings melt, and he plummets into the sea. It's the ultimate cautionary tale of hubris. So is this group mocking the industry, like a sort of declaration that they're willing to fly straight at the brightest targets, the cybersecurity giants, fully aware of the heat?
Or is it a tacit admission that their business model is inherently reckless and they know their operational security will eventually fail?
Exactly. It's such a weird flex.
It is. But while the moniker might suggest a fatalistic worldview, their target selection is hyper-calculated. Look at the specific data sets they targeted through Clue. CRM data, sales communications, contract negotiations, opportunity notes.
The really juicy stuff.
Yeah, this isn't bulk personally identifiable information they can just dump on a dark web forum for fractions of a cent per record. This is premium business intelligence. I mean, if an adversary acquires HackerOn's internal communications regarding unpatched vulnerabilities at major corporations, the value of that intelligence on the exploit market is astronomical.
Or consider the financial markets. If a hedge fund illegally acquires Tanium's Q3 sales pipeline data before the quarterly earnings call, they can front-run the stock.
Exactly. Icarus understands the financial valuation of corporate data better than the organizations actually storing it.
Which is terrifying.
It is. And targeting competitive intelligence integration platforms proves they've mapped the modern corporate supply chain. They know that a CRM isn't just a digital Rolodex. It is the strategic brain of the enterprise. Silent, targeted extraction of this specific telemetry is the most profitable frontier of cybercrime today, mainly because the monetization avenues are virtually untraceable.
Right. And if the traditional static defenses, you know, relying on strong identity providers and complex network segmentation, if they failed against this kind of strategic extraction, then the fundamental architecture of how applications communicate just has to change.
It has to.
The incident reports provide some deeply concerning context for why this shift is critical. Documented OAuth-based supply chain attacks jumped from just 45 incidents in 2024 to 183 sophisticated campaigns in 2026.
A massive spike.
And the attack surface is expanding so rapidly, the sources indicate the average enterprise now utilizes over 400 distinct SaaS applications.
That's 400 separate doors into the network.
Yes. I want you listening to conceptualize the sheer density of that permission matrix. 400 applications constantly authenticating against each other, trading access tokens, syncing databases in the background, and often utilizing credentials that were provisioned by employees who left the company 3 years ago.
And the security industry allowed this web of invisible permissions to proliferate simply because it removed friction for developers.
Right. Nobody wants to be constantly logging in.
Exactly. In the early iterations of API integrations, continuous reauthentication was just a huge engineering bottleneck. A long-lived permanent token allowed microservices to, quote-unquote, just work. But, as we know, friction is the foundational element of security. The Icarus attack demonstrated that frictionless, persistent access is a systemic existential vulnerability.
So the sources outline the engineering response to this reality, specifically the implementation of zero standing privileges, or ZSP, and this concept radically alters the life cycle of a credential.
Right. It changes the whole paradigm.
Under ZSP, if an integration requires access to sync a database, it doesn't receive a token that lasts for a year. It requests ephemeral access, and the identity provider issues a token with a time to live of, say, 65 minutes.
Just enough time.
Right. So it's basically like a Snapchat message for security access. It grants access to do the job, and then it immediately self-destructs.
I love that analogy.
Thanks. But it really forces the question. Why wasn't ephemeral access the architectural standard for APIs from day one?
Well, historically, implementing zero-standing privileges requires a highly mature identity infrastructure. One capable of handling millions of dynamic token generation requests a minute without introducing latency.
Oh, and the older systems just couldn't handle it.
Exactly. Legacy REST APIs simply weren't built to handle that level of cryptographic overhead. But the calculus has obviously changed. Beyond ephemeral tokens, we are seeing the rapid deployment of SaaS Security Posture Management, or SSPM, platforms paired with OAuth security gateways. Okay, so these are the systems built to ingest the audit logs across those 400 disparate SaaS apps and build a unified behavioral graph. Correct. Because an SSPM platform doesn't just verify if a token is cryptographically valid, it analyzes the context of the API call.
So it's looking for the weird stuff.
Right. It looks for impossible travel, like a token being used from an AWS data center in Virginia and then an Azure tenant in Frankfurt within a 3-second window. It monitors for unusual user agent strings in the API headers or deviations in the volume of data being requested.
So if a marketing integration that historically pulls a few hundred kilobytes suddenly attempts to pull a 5-gigabyte database table,
the gateway autonomously revokes a token and severs the connection in real time.
Which really brings us to the operational reality of modern defense, the AI arms race. Because the volume of machine-to-machine handshakes is far too dense for a human security operations center to monitor.
You can't put people on that.
You just can't. You cannot write static rules for every possible permutation of an API call. Defense now relies entirely on artificial intelligence to establish baseline behavioral heuristics and flag the microscopic anomalies that indicate a compromised integration.
Right. The defensive AI is analyzing the subtle jitter in request timing, the sequence of API endpoints queried, the specific payload structures. But the adversaries, they are not static.
No, they're adapting.
Groups like Icarus are deploying generative adversarial networks, JANs, to analyze those exact defensive baselines. They use AI to dynamically alter their extraction scripts, injecting artificial human delays, spoofing rotating user agents, and throttling their data exfiltration to perfectly mimic the statistical behavior of a legitimate vendor sync.
Wow.
It is a continuous automated loop of escalation playing out in the background of every major cloud provider right now.
And the concept of zero trust, you know, it's been a marketing buzzword for a decade. But the Icarus attack really solidifies it as an absolute operational imperative. You can no longer implicitly trust a connection simply because the initial authentication was successful. Managing digital credentials cannot be an annual compliance audit. It has to be a daily automated discipline.
Absolutely.
Every time a developer hard codes an API key or a business unit authorizes a new productivity tool, they are actively expanding the attack surface.
The security culture has to shift from perimeter defense to continuous identity verification. The assumption must always be that the internal network is already hostile.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Well, it requires a critical audit of your own organizational footprint. Think about the legacy third-party applications you've granted read and write access to, your company's email tenants, your calendars, your CRM platforms. Those digital handshakes, they persist in the background, holding the keys to your data long after you've forgotten they even exist.
It's so true.
So revoking access to unused integrations is literally the first step in shrinking your surface area.
And, you know, there's a final, highly complex variable we really must consider as we look at the trajectory of this threat landscape.
Okay, what's that?
Well, we've established that the scale of enterprise SaaS integrations, thousands of microservices generating millions of tokens, is just beyond human comprehension. So we are rapidly approaching an inflection point where organizations will have no choice but to delegate the entire life cycle of access management to artificial intelligence.
They have to.
Right. We will rely on autonomous AI agents to request, grant, monitor, and revoke these digital keys in real time. But what happens when those autonomous gatekeepers are deceived?
Oh, man.
If an advanced threat actor utilizes adversarial machine learning to systematically poison the behavioral baselines of the defending AI, the system might autonomously hand over the keys to the entire kingdom, fully believing it is optimizing a legitimate workflow.
That is a chilling thought.
Are we actually mitigating the risk, or are we simply shifting the vulnerability from a forgotten human credential to a massive algorithmic blind spot? And an exploited AI blind spot operates at a scale and speed that could compromise an entire supply chain before a human analyst even receives the first alert.
Wow. That is a profound reality to consider as we increasingly automate our defenses against adversaries who are doing the exact same thing. I mean, moving from human oversight to algorithmic vulnerability represents a totally new frontier in cyber warfare. It is a stark reminder of why continuous education in this space is just non-negotiable. So take the time today to review your service accounts, audit your active integrations, and enforce expiration dates on your credentials. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Icarus supply chain attack. Keep analyzing your environments, keep questioning your architecture, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.